stay tuned for Nightline Africa, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. Palestinian protesters clashing with Israeli troops in the West Bank for the third day this Saturday. This follows U.S. President Donald Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Protesters hurled stones at troops who responded using tear gas and other riot dispersal means. Mr. Trump's declaration set off a wave of protest across the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and the wider Arab and Muslim world. Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi announced Saturday that the three-year war aimed at driving Islamic State out of Iraq was successful and has come to an end. The militant group is still capable of executing insurgent attacks in Iraq, as it did in November, when it regained control of Rawa. It's the last town it held near the border with Syria before relinquishing it again over the following weeks. Iraq now turns its attention to rebuilding the many areas of the country that were devastated by the fighting and assisting some 3 million Iraqis who are still displaced. Civil rights icon and Congressman John Lewis of the United States says he will not attend the opening Saturday of a civil rights museum in Mississippi because President Donald Trump will be there. Lewis is 77 years old and worked with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and led the Civil Rights March on Selma and spoke at the March on Washington in 1963. For the last 21 years, he has represented the state of Georgia in the House of Representatives. He is scheduled to be one of the main speakers at the event on Saturday, but after learning that President Trump would be there, he declined to be there. And someone from the Trump administration has said that it is unfortunate that Lewis would not be there. This is VOA News. The UN political affairs chief expressed willingness to ease tension on the Korean Peninsula during a visit to North Korea this week. State media says amid the rising war of words over the North missile and nuclear programs, Reuters' Samantha Vadas reports.
It was the first UN visit to North Korea in years. Political Affairs Chief Jeffrey Feltman returning from his four-day trip to Pyongyang on Saturday, where state media says he expressed willingness to ease tension on the Korean Peninsula. It also said the UN envoy acknowledged the negative impact of sanctions on humanitarian aid to the country. Feltman's the highest-level UN official to visit North Korea since 2012.
At least six armed separatists and a police official have been killed and several people wounded in the southwestern Cameroon English-speaking town of Mamfe during an attack on a military post. The attack occurred after a special envoy from Nigeria assured Cameroon that they want to work gently to reduce terrorism on their frontiers. Cameroon has been complaining that armed separatists were using Nigerian territory as a training ground. Moki Edwin Kinzaga reports from Yaoundé. Text. Cameroon.
In other news, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres expressed his outrage about the attack against a UN mission in the Democratic Republic of Congo, in which at least 15 Tanzanian peacekeepers and five Congolese soldiers died and more than 50 injured.
This is the worst attack on UN peacekeepers in the organization's recent history.
Council members.
It is another indication of the enormous sacrifices made by troop contributing countries in the service of global peace.
Council members met in a closed session Friday afternoon to discuss the attack. After holding a moment of silence and tribute to those victims, the peacekeepers were part of a special intervention force based in eastern Congo. The attack occurred late Thursday in troubled North Kivu province. Firefighters continue to battle several wind-fueled wildfires in Southern California, including a new rapidly expanding blaze that erupted north of San Diego. Over the past 5 days, the fires have destroyed at least 500 structures and forced about 190,000 people to evacuate their homes. More than 5,700 firefighters accompanied by helicopters are spraying and dumping water and fire retardant to slow the spread of six large wildfires and other smaller blazes that have erupted since Monday. You can find more at voanews.com. I'm Tommy McNeil in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clotty in Washington.
We are really condemning these criminal elements of ADF who have been identified as the authors of these crimes they are committing. We are asking them to leave our country.
The UN Security Council sharply condemns the attack in the DRC, which left at least 15 peacekeepers dead.
We have some mediators. We have the head of state from Guinea, who is trying to work towards implementation of appeasement measures to meet the conditions to allow us to discuss and find sustainable solutions to our problems.
The Togolese government says it is now ready to hold talks with opposition and civil society groups.
The people spoke and voted their president in a legal, constitutional and legitimate manner. If there are any concerns, let the people have the opportunity when the time comes, and that time is next year, to again consent, to speak and to decide.
And a prominent Cameroonian cleric calls on President Paul Biya to step down. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. The United Nations Security Council has condemned in strongest terms Thursday's attack against a UN mission in the Democratic Republic of Congo. At least 15 Tanzanian peacekeepers and 5 Congolese soldiers died in the attack. In addition to the deaths, more than 50 people were injured in the attack in DRC's North Kivu province. In a statement Friday, the Security Council expressed its deepest condolences and sympathy to the families of the victims, the government of Tanzania and Democratic Republic of Congo, and to the United Nations mission in DRC known as MONUSCO. Lambert Mende, DRC's information minister, told me Allied Democratic Forces, or ADF, a rebel group, has been identified as carrying out the attack.
We are really condemning these criminal elements of ADF who have been identified as the authors of these crimes they are committing. We are asking them to leave our country peacefully. They are resisting. They are killing Congolese. They are killing Congolese soldiers and ending now by killing even peacekeepers from the UN, Tanzanian troops who came just to help our country to have a peaceful way of living. The government condemns strictly this attempt by those negative forces to destabilize all endeavors of the international community to help Congo to regain peace. And we shall do all our best together with our partners of MONUSCO to destroy these negative forces, to bring them to court so that they are sued and condemned as per the law.
Has a medical evacuation been ongoing following these attacks?
Yes. You know, those are MONUSCO forces. This is a national brigade. So since the attack occurred, they are busy helping those wounded and busy evacuating the body of those who died. And they are well equipped to do so because they are helping even the Congolese army when such a situation happens towards our soldiers. And they have all our support in doing this.
What are the steps that your country is going to take to make sure that this doesn't occur again? Because as you said initially, they have been killing Congolese soldiers, as well as this incident of UN peacekeepers.
We have lost hundreds of soldiers in the hands of those bandits, and the peacekeepers are trying to help. We are the first to be victims of these soldiers. Our people are dying by thousands. Our soldiers may be hundreds. So we shall never have any rest until those enemies of peace in our country are totally defeated.
What are your thoughts to the families of those loved ones in MONUSCO, as well as those MONUSCO soldiers and the UN forces there in the DRC, helping your government to ensure that the civilians are protected?
We are sending them all our condolences. We are so sorry. We would like very much to avoid such issues. That is why we tried that those negative forces leave our country voluntarily and go back to their country to stop killing Congolese, stop killing peacekeepers. But since they have another agenda, we have to fight them, and we have to express our solidarity with the family, with the relatives, with the friends, with the governments of Tanzania especially, because those are Tanzania troops whom 14 of them died, but they can be sure of our solidarity with them.
Is there any suspicion of any foreign government behind this ADF forces, or these are just rebels committing atrocities in your country?
We are talking of ADF. Those are Rwanda rebels. Why are they in Congo killing Congolese? This is an aggression from a group of foreigners who went on rebellion against their government and they are trying to use our territory to fight their own struggle. So we can't accept it. But if there is any Congolese who is working with them, let me tell you that there will not be any pardon for it.
Lambert Mende is the DRC's information minister. He spoke with me from the capital, Kinshasa. The Togolese government says it is now ready for dialogue with opposition and civil society groups following weeks of protests. The administration says it has taken reconciliation measures and is promising freedom of association, assembly, and demonstration to create an atmosphere of trust. Public Service Minister Gilbert Bawara said each political party would have representatives during consultations ahead of the dialogue. Opposition and civil society groups are protesting a move by the ruling party to amend the constitution to enable President Faure Gnassingbe to seek additional terms. For reaction about the talks, I reached Bridget Ajamagbo-Johnson, coordinator of the coalition of 14 political parties spearheading the protests in the Togolese capital, Lomé.
Our reaction is that we are really surprised by this assessment. You know, for us, Mr. Faure Gnassingbe is just a party to the conflict. You know, he is one of the protagonists, and the second protagonist is our coalition of the 14 political parties. And we have some mediators. We have the head of state from Guinea, who is trying to work towards implementation of appeasement measures, you know, to meet the conditions to allow us to discuss and find sustainable solutions to our problems. Secondly, because we have still some of our people who are still in jail, they have to be released also.
Will opposition and civil society groups be prepared and acceptable to hold dialogue with the government without preconditions? Because you just said that opposition supporters are in jail right now. Will you go ahead with the dialogue without preconditions, or you will demand that as part of the dialogue they should be released before the dialogue proceeds?
You know, we agreed together when we met with the Ghana head of state and also with the Ghanaian one, that in order to allow for not only peace, but also allow each other to have confidence in each other, it will be good to take those measures. So we have listed the measures that have to be taken. They just started to take some of those measures. You know, if you don't have to state the problem in terms of a precondition. We said these are measures for appeasement. And we are in politics. We cannot discuss if our people is not with us. They have to see that, okay, now everything is okay. There is no more people in prison just because they have been asking for democracy. Then we start to discuss.
The opposition is planning fresh demonstrations on December 13, 14, and 16 in the capital Lomé and several other cities. Will these demonstrations go on as planned, despite the government saying that it is willing to open dialogue to resolve the concerns that you've expressed?
Sure, we will continue the demonstration. Why? Because we are on the street for some reason. We are asking our constitution to be back. We are asking other reforms to be done. And then we are asking to discuss the current term of the president. That's why we are on the street. It's not because we have started to discuss that we will stop to demonstrate. We'll see. When we'll see that the government has agreed on what we are asking for, well, I think we'll not have any reason, you know, to continue to demonstrate.
But supporters of the government are saying that they want to trigger a referendum. So Togolese will decide whether there should be a constitutional amendment that will allow for Nyasingbe to seek additional terms. Wouldn't this be an opportunity to campaign against it?
No, everybody who knows our situation in the country will understand that we don't meet the conditions to have free and fair elections. And when you talk about referendum, you talk about elections. We have never had a free and fair election in Togo. And this is part of the reasons why the Togolese people are on the street. So you understand yourself that the referendum cannot be a solution.
Bridget Ajamagbo Johnson is the coordinator of the coalition of 14 political parties spearheading the protests in Togo. She spoke with me from Lomé. A prominent Cameroonian cleric has called on President Paul Biya to step down and peacefully hand over power in a smooth transition. Samuel Kleda, the Archbishop of Douala and President of the National Episcopal Conference of Cameroon, says the president should step down if he loves the country. Biya has been the leader of the Central African country for the last 35 years. The Archbishop's call comes as the 84-year-old president grapples with the ongoing crisis in the English-speaking parts of the country. Critics say President Biya appears to be disinterested in finding a solution to the crisis. For a reaction to the resignation call, I reach Elvis Ngole Ngole, coordinator of the Academia for the Ruling Cameroon People's Democratic Movement, or CPDM, in the Cameroonian capital, Yaoundé.
That sort of statement becomes problematic in the sense that it defies the principles of secularism. It violates the principles of what a republic is. It is the people that speak. And all the people have spoken as for this. The people spoke in 2011 and elected the president of the republic. And as they elected the president of the republic, it is legitimate, constitutional, and legal. And I believe that in the spiritual domain, even God has acknowledged that the people have elected the president.
Mr. Paul Biya has been running Cameroon for 35 years now. He is 84 years old. His critics are saying he has no new ideas to run or administer the affairs of Cameroon. So therefore, they are asking for him to ensure a smooth transition from his administration to the next. Don't you think those concerns are justified?
No,
those who have such concerns have a right to have such concerns, but they are not the concerns of the Republic, meaning the political system in which the people, all the people, or at least the majority of the people, speak or consent to. As far as we are concerned, from the standpoint of our Republic, the people spoke and voted their president in a legal, constitutional, and legitimate manner. If there are any concerns, let the people have the opportunity when the time comes, and that time is next year, to again consent, to speak, and to decide, and let no one else, in violation of the spirit of the Republic, in violation of the principles of secularism, come into the picture as if to say that person, it go between the people and the Republic. The Republic belongs to the people.
Some Cameroonians that I spoke with are saying that President Paul Biya, who is a statesman, should set an example of an African statesman, and that in 2011, when the constitution was amended, other African countries are doing the same thing by removing constitutional term limits that allow them to run in perpetuity, basically guaranteeing he becomes a life president, and that he has set a very bad precedent for other younger African leaders who might come up and who would want to stay there till they die. What is your take?
These are concerns of citizens of every republic. I have no reason to judge as to whether or not they are valid. As far as I know, because I believe as a Republican citizen, I believe that people have concerns all the time, and there are all kinds of concerns. But at the end of the day, the principles and the rules of the republic demand of all of us in the republic, because don't forget that one of the problems that the statement of Archbishop poses or raises is that one would think that Cameroon is a theocracy. We don't have a theocracy in Cameroon. This is a republic, a secular one, and not a theocracy.
It is reported that President Paul Biya's ruling party, or the CPDM party, in the Central Lekki Division have been promised to finance President Biya's campaign with a special 50 million CFA franc, or in this case, $90,000, to help with the campaign. Is this true?
It is not true. That's a misreading and a misleading interpretation of what that budgetary provision is. I mean, the state of Cameroon, meaning the government of Cameroon, through public funds, meaning taxpayers' monies, finances elections. And the elections that are financed are not financed to favor one candidate against another. This is a budget for the organization, the management of the elections, all the elections, by the way, that are going to take place in 2018. As you know, in 2018, we're expecting to have at least four elections, the presidential, the senatorial, the parliament, meaning the lower house, and then the municipals, meaning the local councils.
Elvis Ngole is the coordinator of the Academia for the ruling party, CPDM. He spoke with me from the capital, Yaoundé. Liberians are waiting for the National Elections Commission to announce the date for the presidential election runoff. Vice President Joseph Boakai from the ruling Unity Party will face soccer legend George Weah in a vote that could mark Liberia's first peaceful transition of power in 7 decades. This comes after the Supreme Court cleared the way for a presidential runoff election, ruling on Thursday that it had not found enough evidence of fraud to halt the entire process. The court dismissed a complaint from the third-place finisher Charles Bromskin's Liberty Party, which has said fraud had undermined the first round of voting in October. For the latest development, I reached Leonard Dodu, the front page African newspaper news desk chief in the Liberian capital, Monrovia.
The Supreme Court ruled finally on Thursday, saying that Liberians should go for a runoff elections instead of a rerun, as it was requested by the Liberty Party, which is an opposition party, and the ruling Unity Party. The Supreme Court, in its ruling on Thursday, said that even though there was some level of fraud as claimed by these two parties, the magnitude of the evidence provided could not warrant a rerun of the entire elections. So the writ of prohibition that was placed on the runoff election has been lifted by the Supreme Court, and now the Elections Commission is yet to announce a date that they would hold the runoff elections.
What has been the reaction of those parties that took the case to court, and what are their supporters saying as they await, the country awaits the Electoral Commission to come up with a date for the election?
Generally, they have accepted the Supreme Court's ruling in the name of respecting the rule of law. But at the same time, like the Liberty Party, for instance, has expressed disappointment in the ruling, saying that they had expected a rerun because the Supreme Court acknowledged that there was some level of fraud, which in their view should warrant the cancellation of the entire October 10 elections and a new and a more credible elections should be conducted. But in the wake of it all, they say that, yes, even though we are disappointed, we respect the decision of the Supreme Court and Liberians should go for a run of elections.
Are we going to see a flurry of endorsement of the two candidates who are going to be going for the runoff, talking about both George Weah and Vice President Boakai? Now, I understand Benoni Ure has thrown his support behind the vice president and the ruling UP party.
That is true. Benoni Ure of the All Liberian Party has pledged his support to the vice president of the ruling party, who is also contesting, so who is going for runoff. Benoni Ure of the All Liberian Party, the Liberty Party, the Unity Party, which is a ruling party, and the Alternative National Congress, led by Mr. Alexander Cummings, all supported the Liberty Party in this fight for a rerun of the elections, claiming that it was fraudulent. However, Mr. Alexander Cummings of the ANC has said he would not support any of the two political parties in the race, which is the Unity Party and the Coalition for Democratic Change, led by Senator George Weah, who is a soccer legend. He said that he is not going to support any of them. The Liberty Party is yet to say whether they will support any of the two candidates in the race. Other political parties are still mute, and we know that probably when campaign is declared for the runoff, a lot of them might come to declare support. But before the Supreme Court ruling, there were other parties that pledged support to George Weah's CDC. But with those that were actually protesting the result of the elections, only Benoni Ure so far has declared support to the Unity Party.
I understand former soccer legend George Weah did not performed particularly well in the first round in Niba County, and that called for Prince Johnson to support him. And some people are saying his support could push him significantly to win the presidency or the runoff election. What are your thoughts?
It is true that Senator Weah performed very poorly in Niba County. And Niba County is one of the vote-rich counties. And Senator Johnson is one of the most influential persons in Nimba. So with he joining Weah, it is likely that he's going to give Weah a very big push in the elections.
Leonard Dodo is the front page African news chief. He spoke with me from Monrovia. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization reports rapid action has succeeded in bringing an outbreak of Marburg virus in Uganda under control. It also prevented the spread of this deadly disease just a matter of weeks after it was first detected. For VOA, Lisa Schlein has more from Geneva.
The first case of this deadly disease in Uganda was confirmed on October 17th. Laboratory tests found the death of a 50-year-old woman was due to an infection caused by the Marburg virus. World Health Organization spokeswoman Fadela Shaib says her agency immediately got to work as soon as it was notified.
Within 24 hours of being informed by the Ugandan Health Authorities in early October, WHO deployed a rapid response team to the remote mountainous area, and we help finance the immediate support and scale up the response in Uganda and Kenya.
WHO released $623,000 from its emergency fund to finance this action. Marburg is a highly fatal disease caused by a virus from the same family as that of Ebola. It can be transmitted from person to person by bodily fluids and can cause bleeding, fever, vomiting, diarrhea, and other symptoms. Shaib tells VOA this was the fifth outbreak of Marburg virus in the past decade, so Uganda knows what to do when the disease strikes. But she says important lessons also have been learned from the West African Ebola epidemic that killed more than 11,000 people.
Marburg is very infectious. It was also important to trace all the contacts of this first case and to follow them for a period of 21 days, plus 21 days, just to make sure that there is no other cases being detected.
WHO reports three people died over the course of the outbreak, which affected two districts in eastern Uganda near the Kenyan border. The UN agency notes surveillance and contact tracing on the Kenyan side of the border by the Kenyan Ministry of Health and partners also prevented cross-border spread of the disease. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. And right now it's time for music from our African collection.
Sekia vanilla, yeni kuki umuze, kama pochina ngawira, sani patie doze, kasi tacheni panira, sinifanyia joze, tange tange kajamira, I say, you're fire baby,
fire, 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 baby,
fire, oh, oh.
Fire, 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 baby,
your love is sweet,
fire, 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 baby,
tamu baka mwisho,
fire, 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 fire.
Sindo akina kwa kosina Yutanjema ifajiri chana uzima Kuna kesha kulitabiri pendo kuchina baby Tena wengine wakubwa mili watu wazima
Tanga kunani kurugu mechi mkwa kwani Mtoto dari wakandana Samba chumbani yendo mesi uwanjani Sini pie simba yanga
Nduma kama tsunami Jinsi kuna tetema Sura zarina sani Shepu sepetu ema
oh.
I say, yo fire baby yo
Fire, 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 baby
Fire, oh, oh.
Fire, 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 baby
Akicheka sura kito
Fire, 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 baby
Akini busa kabisa no moto
Fire, 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 baby
Let me tell you something about this bobo
baby.
Bobanga bola vira como yaye, era na bufuka moyaye. Babanga bakulembeze bayaye, na batuze bayaye. Yazali wa mukabuka akebunaira. Nakula nempisa nga etuwaza. Nga buli tata we shamugamba mukondera. Nga yamugamba nti yetakula byakikwangala. Nga yamugana ebyokulwana. Nga bw'omukuba ettama akukyusiza ddala. Nayawukana nnyo ku bavubuka abalala. Nga yamugana bawala enguuli n'enjaga. Teyamanya kyoluso mwana w'omuntu byakugana nze abikola. Tata we bamukwasa n'akawala nga batunda enjaga. Ate tekyalina tata bw'assa mu kitiibwa. Yafuuka muyaye n'enjayi kati aginywa. Ayogera luyaye ne mukiyaye gy'asula. Abamuyita omuyaye tebyekiyaye byakola. Naye abayita bayaye kuba tebakola bye babuulira. Olunaku lumu ng'enjuba enaatera okugwa yasanga ekkanisa nga yonna emekaaneka. Bambi teyakimanya nti yali yakikwangala. Pasita yali muyaye nga noonya z'amata. N'amuyigiriza okusiga n'okugaba nti amuwe ssente agenda yamba abajagana. Bwe yafuna ssente n'aziwa pasita yamba abaana ku musomi yayiga. Musomesa yaziba kalina bajokendi nga zizirya amaluma. Kati takyalina pasita gw'assa mu kitiibwa. Yafuuka muyaye n'enjayi kati aginywa. Ayogera luyaye ne mukiyaye gy'asula. Abamuyita omuyaye tebyekiyaye byakola. Abayita bayaye kuba tebakola bye babuulira. Mama wakaba agamba mwana wange bya tata wo bifeeko. Okomewo jenjeno onochuka. Kufuka tata omulungi ate sitaza baana. Bakuyigireko bingi nnyo ne mukama watyo. Agamba mwana wange bapasita abayaye bangi naye n'abatuufu bangi nnyo. Inge yasimba ebinyeebwa emumereramu ebitoto yo pasita gwe wasanga. Yali kamyuke yava kusiiwasiiwa. Wafuuka muyaye n'enjayi kati oginywa. Oyogera luyaye ne mukiyaye gy'osula. Abakuyita omuyaye tebyekiyaye byokola. Kituufu ne bwe bayaye kuba tebakola bye babuulira.
Gira tuchingale, chino tuchingale, gira tuchingale, we. Gira tuchingale, chino tuchingale, gira tuchingale, we.
You have been far away, ngomuti magulu maguluma, ngabuli wene sunga wateko.
Lava what to say, not ever make a cool say. Makulava to know I know any mama. Mumuana Mujena, Michawa, Michawa, then they may young one. Oh, Jeman, then I see a lot telling.
Don't you worry, cause times are windy.
Nange windy.
Ira tu chingale, chino tu chingale, ira tu chingale, we.
Samatera, Gomgongo Wange Mukaluba, don't call a bitchitini. Yeah, but young good young when no matter what a poem. What of my day, my name fancy, be also. What to study, Tabo Lamu, where Yaga? Tell her to
Come on, 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 come on,
kabula baje abawane batajuna bobera ne fije bisane zibula siri siri e unye unye no no ebyo mukwano narima ebize muni funa bilala siri siri e unye unye ira yo tesa ni bandi koli makoli 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 manyo nae mukine siya ulu mwana ya
Gabin Atiga, Mobaya Jeannette Asomo.
And that was Music from the Continent. We hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of The Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, managing editor Shaka Sale, reporter and producer Douglas Impuga, and our engineer for today, Justin Thwaite, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. I remember, as the elders say, no sane person sharpens his machete to cut a banana tree. I'm your host, Peter Clotter in Washington. Good evening, Africa.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The recent legislative and municipal elections in the Republic of Equatorial Guinea were a chance for the government there to live up to the goal of widening the country's democratic space, a goal that was the focus of Equatorial Guinea's celebrated national dialogue of 2014. As longtime President Obiang Nguema Mbasogo said at the time, democracy and national unity must be priorities in the problems that affect the nation. Where there are no public liberties, there cannot be institutional development. Unfortunately, as U.S. Ambassador to Equatorial Guinea Julie Furuta Toy wrote in a recent op-ed, the opportunity for the government to expand the country's democratic space, demonstrate that it hears the voice and the will of the people, and improve its image on the international stage was missed in November. The elections were a step back, she wrote. The balloting of candidates did not allow the public to vote freely for candidates to represent them at any level, since the voters only had the choice to vote for a party. The members of the public were registered to vote in a process that was not transparent and was not observed by the international or domestic observers. And the final count of the votes was not at all transparent or free. Additionally, restrictions on internet and communication systems were enforced. Reportedly, the Democratic Party of Equatorial Guinea, the party of President Nguema, won the legislative and municipal elections with 92% of the vote. At the Chamber of Deputies in Malabo, only a single member of the opposition from the Citizens Party for Innovation was elected, leaving 99 seats to the party in power. Ambassador Furuta Toy emphasized that a vibrant and loyal opposition is necessary to create economic opportunities for everyone. Without hearing the voices, without an independent representative democracy, the government limits the ability of its citizens to make informed choices for the future of the nation. As she wrote earlier this year, the greatest resource of Equatorial Guinea is not its abundant supply of oil and gas. The greatest resource of Equatorial Guinea is actually her people, said Ambassador Furuta Toy. It is past time for the leaders of Equatorial Guinea to ensure that Equatorial Guineans are allowed the democratic space required for their country to flourish.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.